about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello. The writers of this program are depending on my ethnic but non-threatening voice to explain things they are too lazy to set up traditionally.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
All my life, people told me I'd never be good at anything. I decided to prove them wrong. Unfortunately, you don't get credit for being good at selling crack or convincing women and making love to them with your socks on still counts.
Oh, he's just gonna get that thing stuck, dude.
Traffic. We live in Los Angeles. Yes, but our traffic has famous people. At any given time, you could get into a fender bender with Steve Harvey.
And now, do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do you guys just hate chance? Be honest with me.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 8th of Rocktober.
Yeah, it is.
I missed it the first time around, but I just got caught up on the video that you guys recorded in into the weekend about all the sporting events that were happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I saw Beer Mug on video making his prediction that the Dodgers would be sweeping the Nationals.
I mean, he's not necessarily known for predicting sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I would take that seriously.
The question is, did he jinx them by saying that out loud?
Oh, interesting.
Is Beer Mug responsible for last night's 6-1 loss instead of closing the thing out and moving on to the next round of the playoffs?
That's a heavy weight.
It is. I mean,
dare I say the entire family has those vibes. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But is he that strong?
Well, no. Okay. And you're bringing it up now, not after their first loss. So, I mean, this is two.
I think hadn't game one already happened?
Yeah.
When you guys recorded that.
Yeah, he was saying they were going to sweep even though they already lost one. So, I don't know if the jinx is as big of a problem as the math.
No, they won. They were up 1-0
Okay.
Yeah.
In the series.
He's awful at jinxing stuff, but he's not that
bad
stupid.
Yeah, he gets it.
I guess I bring it up to say if there's any way we could blame it on Beer Mug, I would be fine with that. I guess that's a good policy in general. Yeah.
I think we wait on game five.
Okay. Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if they lose, we know where to pin it is what I'm
saying. Okay, fantastic. Got it. But they won't lose, though, right, Muggs?
Hell no.
I mean, you guarantee it, right?
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's impossible at this point for them to not win.
You are
hurting
dumb.
Me. Hurting me a lot.
You are not a smart man.
We have a tremendous show today, by the way. And I don't say that lightly. I sincerely mean it. I think today's a good one.
Okay.
But first, I want to start with this story. This, Allie, I'm really interested in your take on this. This is a senior named Darcy Kruger who was attending her homecoming dance. Mm-hmm. And she decided, by the way, how do I say this? There was a dress code that was posted that said that women need to wear dresses. Men need to wear, you know, suits and ties. Women need to wear dresses. Everybody okay there with the mics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Alive.
Please plan your attire within a conservative manner. We do not allow strapless and knee-length short dresses, as well as two-piece dresses with less than a 2-inch gap at midsection.
Real quick, what year is this story from?
This is this week.
Good to know. Good to know.
By the way, I think this is fairly common. I think I think most high schools across the country do have a dress code so that people don't show up, you know, in super, super sexy stuff.
Sure.
I mean, that's fairly common, I think, right?
Yes and no. I mean, that story about people being kicked away from prom because a woman is wearing a suit has lessened over the last 5 years.
Right.
Right.
And this is very close to that story. All right. So we highly discourage dresses that are too revealing and are simply too short. Dresses that expose a plunging neckline or backlines are not appropriate. Okay. So the school is asking the ladies to cover up because we all know it's not a woman's right to dress as she wants. You have to protect the horn dogs who can't handle seeing a little cleavage, right?
Yeah, we can't make their boys horny.
Exactly. That's what's happening. So she, Darcy Kruger, decided that she was going to come in, and here's the Fleabag effect all over again, Allie, a dressy black jumpsuit is what she decided to wear. And by the way, she looked fantastic. She had strappy heels. She had a big necklace on. She did her hair up. I mean, it was a very classy look. She's 17 years old. She shows up at her homecoming dance. She's been looking forward to it. She is turned away at the door. The event's organizers pointed to the dress code, which stated that young women are required to wear dresses. I thought there had to be some sort of misunderstanding, her mom said. What century are we in? Now, haven't jumpsuits kind of gone pretty big in the in recent years?
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. You see them on the red carpet at the Oscars. I've seen wedding dresses that are actually jumpsuits. I mean, it seems like jumpsuits are really like considered a fair alternative to getting dressed up now.
Mm-hmm.
So what about this? Did the school, I mean, should the school have held to the dress code, or should they have just said, oh, jumpsuits are fine?
Is this a private school?
It is. Is it a private school? Is a great question that I don't immediately have the answer to. I think it. I think yes. Really? You think so?
I think.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Tell me the thing.
Private schools have a whole list of things that you have to abide by. If you don't, you don't get in. You don't go to those things. Here's where you hit the private school once you graduate.
Okay.
You're going to get letters every month asking for money.
Mm.
You write back, F you, I wanted to wear a dress. And trust me, things will change at some point. But you know what? It's private school. Private schools are different.
They're different because the parents pay to have their kids there, right? And so...
And they have a whole different...
So they can do whatever they want to do.
They can do whatever they want.
The guidelines also noted that jeans, T-shirts, and baseball caps were not allowed, but because Darcy's dressy jumpsuit would have fit right in at a wedding or any other formal event, neither she nor her mother thought anything about it. It in no way crossed my mind that the outfit would be a violation. I can't believe that they just turned her away at the door and sent her home. And by the way, they did say, you're welcome to the dance. You just need to go home and change and come back.
Well,
and
nothing makes you want to join a party like turned away.
Like, go home for a while and come over. You'll miss some of the good stuff.
She said it felt very dismissive and inconsiderate. The school says we have two private events every year for our students. These events have a dress code. This particular event, 390 students bought tickets. Only one student had to be turned away due to the dress code. But she said she did not feel, like you said, did not feel welcome. She said, no way.
Yeah, if it's a school that is not allowing strapless dresses, that's a private school. That is a private religious school.
Well, they need to loosen up. That's my takeaway.
Okay, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good point.
Loosen up.
Loosen up.
I can't.
What are you, uptight?
I can't imagine a world where you tell women to wear a dress. That seems so weird. Like, you have to wear a dress. People won't feel comfortable. I mean, it's like there are. I mean, I can't even imagine what women going through puberty have to go through without someone telling them what to wear.
Yeah, exactly.
Let alone when you're told what to wear.
And by the way, especially more than ever now that we have an awareness of people who are gender fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Let them wear what they want to wear.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let them be comfortable. I totally do understand that you don't want it to be a boob party. I get that.
Yes.
But... Again,
I do. I mean, again, taking
my entire high school, I was hoping for a boob party.
By the way, that is my new band. I hope you guys will come see me at the Troop. But I also think that women should be allowed to dress the way that women want to dress. And I think the school should step down. That's just my take.
I've got bad news for you about what people on the news are told to wear. Got bad news. And those are actual women, not 15, 16
not high school,
year olds.
Right. Not 17 year olds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I got news for you about the world.
Loosen up. I think we're all on board with loosen up, right? What are you, uptight?
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean show, shall we?
All right. Well, let's just stop f***ing around. No one's interested in this.
That's Andrea Savage.
Yes.
It sure is.
She's going to be joining us today. She started a new podcast with a hashtag. Are there any other podcasts that have a hashtag in the title?
Not that I'm aware of.
I can't think of many.
Hers is a grown-up woman, hashtag buttholes.
Join the butthole revolution.
She's delightful, by the way.
She is. I agree. Today, we're going to pick Jensen's next tattoo.
Well, that's a sort of.
Today, it's a binding thing.
Yes.
Where we all vote.
Agree to that
and we take
all.
Calls.
Yeah. This is not what we talked about.
And then it's
what
legally
I heard.
Binding.
That is brave, Jensen.
Yeah, didn't
what I heard.
That is not
really
at all
nice of him.
Cuck-like.
No, again, that's
right.
not the
no?
term.
Okay.
But I did not say that you would be picking for sure. We're just going to talk about it.
What I remember is if you disagree with our choice,
yes.
Caller 20 gets to tell you what tattoo you
No, that was
Caller 20.
Okay.
I like it.
That was not what I said.
Also, people are dumb coming up on today's Kevin and
Bean
Show.
Boy, they sure are.
And we have a pair of tickets to the Queen Mary's Dark Harbor on the show coming up. We'll take a break. We will.
This day in history with Old Man Reuben.
October 8th, 2004, saw home and lifestyle icon Martha Stewart surprisingly sentenced to 5 months in prison for insider trading. I remember seeing that story and thinking, 5 months? She got off easy. Back in 1948, I did 4 years just for using chalk on the sidewalk. It was true hard time, spending most of my sentence in solitary confinement, repeatedly yelling, "It was just chalk, guys!" I was given only bath water to drink and shrimp tails to eat, beaten to the edge of my life weekly by stark raving mad prison guards, and led to hallucinate and believe that a rat named Jeffrey was asking me to cut off my hands. I eventually escaped in a laundry basket, camouflaged by stained bedsheets, and that's when I took on the identity of Reuben. I miss the old days of being Gustav, but I did what I had to do.
See, because Reuben is old!
He has quite a life.
He's got a lot of experience. He was Gustav, so if you want to call him that, it might get a flashback.
All right. I can't believe there was a jail at one time in this country where you were only allowed to drink bathwater and eat shrimp tails.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
That's tough.
The fact that he's even so positive today is...
Right?
Like,
how does he do it?
Yeah, that's really
poor
something
Gustav.
For him. Yeah.
All right, well, I've got nothing to complain about in my life, I'll tell you that. 5:54 Tuesday morning. Allie, what's happening?
I don't get Dancing with the Stars. Yep. Hasn't it been on for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like
this season?
Yeah,
25 seasons or something.
No, I mean this season.
Oh, this season has been on since the late 90s, yes.
How are there only two stars eliminated so far? Is it because people keep going down, injuries, so then they just dismiss that week?
I would guess that's the case, yes.
I thought you were going to say, how is this finale not here yet? And you said
two people have been eliminated.
What?
Yes.
Is this a multi-year show?
That's what I'm asking.
Do they count Ray Rice?
No. Well, former NBA star Lamar Odom was sent home on last night's live episode of Dancing with the Stars, becoming the second celebrity eliminated in the new season.
What?
So even though Ray Rice is gone because he re-injured his foot.
His murder foot.
And then... Yeah. Christy Brinkley is gone, but then they put her daughter Sailor in her place. Mm-hmm. So that's not really an elimination.
Right.
Right.
So it's really only two people so far eliminated.
Have they stopped eliminating? Maybe they just decided, you know what, let's just keep going.
Just keep dancing. Just forever. I mean, this seems...
It's odd.
Weird. And it's even weirder that they don't have the people's last names in this article, so it's just... The ones remaining, Allie and Sasha. Okay, who's the star? Kel and Whitney, who's the star? Hannah and Alan, who's the star?
Yeah.
Lauren and Gleb. What? Who are these people?
There's someone named Gleb.
Gleb. G-L-E-B. That's Isn't that what best. Tom Cruise accused
Matt Lauer so Gleb?
Of being?
Damn it, I can't believe I picked Adler when Gleb was
Gleb.
Out there.
Gleb was available.
What a great name.
Don't know who Gleb is.
Has to be the dancer, though, because there's no way there's a celeb named Gleb that we don't know about.
That we haven't had on the show once a week.
That's such a bummer if we've missed a Gleb all these years.
Very disappointed in us.
Yeah, it's I don't get it. But second celebrity eliminated in the new season.
This is Gleb Savchenko, a dancer, choreographer, and model who is currently appearing as a pro dancer in Dancing with the Stars. He's born in Moscow, Russia, has been dancing since the age of 7.
He's like
Dude's
a serious
spy.
He's a serious beefcake.
Gleb.
Like
he'd have to be.
Don't overcome the name.
You have to.
Oh, Gleb.
Looks like he might be dating Lisa Vanderpump. So Dave should have known about Gleb.
Well, I feel like Lisa Vanderpump's husband should be aware of Gleb as well.
Okay.
Oh, maybe that's who he's dancing with.
Oh, is he dancing with...
Wait. He is. He's dancing with Lisa Vanderpump.
Gleb, Gleb and Lauren.
Oh.
Oh, he has... Right. Oh, he danced with her in 2013.
2013. Has she been eliminated?
Not yet. No. Still going on.
Show is insane. I don't get it.
We've just found out that we know less about Dancing with the Stars than we did yesterday about Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Christine adds that he danced with Nikki Glaser last year.
Oh, okay.
Well, that worked out. Trip around the sun for Gleb.
Sure was.
She was eliminated the first show.
Okay. I guess here's what happened is he was paired with Lisa Vanderpump on Dancing with the Stars season 16. Mm-hmm. He was paired with someone named Jonna Kramer on Dancing with the Stars season 23.
Sure.
Okay. Who's Lauren? Who's he dancing with this year?
Season 24, he was partnered with Erica Jane. Don't know who that is.
Okay, let's get to Lauren.
Season 25, there's a Sasha Pietierski he danced with.
Nope.
Okay, come on.
Nope.
Then Nikki Glaser on the 27th. Oh, here's Laura, Lauren Elena.
Okay, who is she?
Who is she? Is she a singer, maybe?
Wow.
I think she's a singer. Wasn't she an American Idol singer?
She's
or something?
American Idol season 10 runner up.
I thought I remembered her. Yeah.
Season 10 runner up? Yeah. There's been like 76 seasons.
I don't even know what that is.
Honestly, this is insane. This is insane.
This is real, you guys.
I think we can say, without a doubt, that we're all rooting for Gleb now.
Oh, I agree.
For sure.
I don't care about Lauren.
We are all Gleb heads.
All Gleb. 100%.
Need to make a shirt.
Oh.
Let's go Gleb.
Well, congratulations to Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Hillary Burton, who had us all fooled. We all believe they got married in 2014, this article says. But they just got married over the weekend. So, yay.
Gleb invited?
I don't know if Gleb was invited. To be honest, I like them as a couple. Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Hillary Burton. Anyone else?
I don't care. I don't get a sense either way.
I'm fine.
That's happy.
You guys not One Tree Hill heads like I was?
No.
Really?
No. I should have been.
Okay.
I should have been. That's exactly the kind of show that I would love.
Yeah.
But just never got into it.
Love.
Too much Dawson's Creek Light?
It had a feel like Dawson's Creek, but to be honest, there was no, annoying Dawson, right? Yeah. Who's with me? Team Pacey. What just happened?
I'm not sure.
I did love Dawson, though. But I was more Team Pacey.
That was a great show. OC was a great show.
OC was a great show.
Gilmore Girls was a great show. I was into all of those
shows. Yeah, that is your wheelhouse, then.
I don't know why I missed One Tree Hill.
Come on, man.
Because Gleb wasn't on it.
Yeah, you didn't know
He only
Gleb.
Watches stuff with Gleb.
Yeah, Gleb 2020.
We got to get Gleb on. He's got to be easy to get on. We did it with the food person. Just call for Gleb.
Even as a Russian, is that a terrible name?
Gleb, if you're listening right now, just give a call. 1-800.
Call now.
All right, some birthdays for you. Chevy Chase, Matt Damon, Paul Hogan, Nick Cannon, Bella Thorne, Bruno Mars, and Travis Pastrana.
We decided that we all love Halloween music, and why wait till the last weekend to start playing it?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right? So we have a poll up on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account right now, at Kevin and Bean. We are giving you your chance to choose which Halloween song you would like to hear between 7 and 8 this morning. So that's next hour on K-Rock. It's very close right now. 51% of the votes are for Warren Zevon's Werewolves of London.
Okay.
49% are for the Cranberries' Zombie. So that's where we're at right now. Warren Zevon or Cranberries, you can go to the Kevin B. Twitter account and cast your vote, and we'll play your pick between 7 and 8 this morning here on K-Rock.
It's time for People Are Dumb. Man drank 7 beers before turning himself in. This guy's name is Billy Bob Hall from Weatherford, Texas.
Anytime your name is Billy Bob, correct, you know it's going to be a great story.
He's planning to turn himself into the police, but he needed a little help.
Billy Bob Hall told police he needed a drink to build up the courage to turn himself in. He downed 7 beers, then turned up at the Parker County Jail. Deputies there say he didn't have a warrant for his arrest and they would have to let him go, but...
So he turned himself in, and they said, for what? We don't have any record of you needing to be here.
You're fine.
Except for he was drunk.
He was so intoxicated, he posed a danger to himself and others. Deputies arrested him for public intoxication, and right now he's in jail.
Billy Bob!
What did he think he was supposed to turn himself in
for? Didn't say. I looked at 3 different articles. It didn't say. It's just like he knew he had to do it, and he was really, really having trouble.
Oh, wow.
So he drank
because he hadn't committed a crime. That's why
he was
having trouble.
Probably what was missing.
Maybe he knew what he was going to do in the future,
Oh, that could be, too.
He's a pedophile or something, and he's stopping himself from a future crime.
Wow, I hadn't gone quite that far.
We were just having fun.
Sorry, I'm writing the movie. No worries.
We were having a blast.
Having a beer there.
Yeah.
You guys know about the Amish?
Sure.
Yeah. Riding the horse and buggy.
They don't
do any electricity.
Those people party.
No electricity, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Nothing modern?
No.
That's right.
Amish men drinking ultra-light beer in decked-out buggy flee authorities.
Hmm.
On Sunday morning, sheriff's deputies in Ohio saw a pair of Amish men drinking a 12-pack of Michelob Ultra as they rode in a horse and buggy. Now, I don't know how horse and buggies work, but could that be considered drunk driving or no?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, you are in control of the horses. You understand?
Yeah, get a drunk driving conviction on a horse.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
On a scooter. Riding a dog. Like, let's say you're just tiny.
You're riding a dog.
Sure.
Okay. The deputies tried to pull over the buggy. I'm not quite sure how that would work either, because there's no... Do you turn on the siren, or is it just the lights?
You just pull over!
Yes,
pull over now!
And the men jumped out of the buggy, and the horses just kept going. Just took off.
Huh. Okay.
A stereo system was found in the buggy.
Oh, dear.
These are not very good Amish people.
No.
Along with several beer bottles, the men are still at large, by the way, and the buggy was towed, and the horse is being taken care of until it's claimed.
Sounds like they were living the Amish paradise.
Oh, my God.
File, please.
Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix man shoots himself in the face trying to quiet down neighbors.
Did it work?
Phoenix man accused of shooting at his ceiling to get his neighbors above him to quiet down.
Oh, my gosh.
Shot himself in the face Sunday night and was hospitalized.
That's going to leave a mark.
Sergeant Vince Lewis said the man at about midnight was so upset with them. They were making so much noise. He went upstairs and he was banging on the door. Nothing, no answer.
We've all been there.
No one's paying attention. Yeah. So the unidentified man went back to his apartment, reportedly fired several shots into the ceiling.
Oh, my God.
Police are still investigating how he ended up with a bullet in his face.
Well, Darwinism.
That's probably the answer. Man finds burglar in the shower. This is Trenton, New Jersey. Peter Fields realized something was wrong when he came home and found his door broken on Saturday. As he walked inside his home, he heard the shower running, and he couldn't believe what he saw. He said, I went in the house, and I noticed someone had smashed the alarm system off the wall, and that's when I heard the shower. The man was in the shower. The thief already had some of Fields' clothes picked out for when he left, and they were all laid out on the bed. He also had taken some alcohol. It was his best whiskey, he said. The man called the police while sort of making sure that the thief didn't get away. The thief was still in the shower for the whole time, and the police got there relatively quickly and arrested him while still taking a shower.
Huh.
Let the man finish.
I don't know. Is he wasting water, though, at that point? That's your takeaway? Oh, finish. I didn't realize what you were saying there, Jensen, until the hand motion. And finally, murder plot derailed by butt dial.
Oh.
Murder plot derailed by butt dial. Here's the story.
The owner of a used car dealership in Jonesboro is behind bars tonight, accused of conspiring to commit murder.
Police say the supposed target found out about the alleged hit after he was accidentally made part of the conversation.
So the guy calls a hitman and says, I want you to kill a guy. But he butt dials the guy who he's trying to have killed.
Oh, no.
So the guy who's the intended victim is listening to the entire phone call. The guy gives him the details, his address, everything, and the man is just listening to the whole thing.
Jonesboro police say, unbeknownst to Larry Barnett, while he was hiring someone to kill his former employee, he let the target in on it and explained in detail how and why he wanted it done. Sergeant Doug Foreman with the Jonesboro Police Department says it started when Barnett, who owns Legend Motor Company on South Stadium Boulevard, accidentally called his former employee.
And basically, he overheard a conversation between that individual and another unknown male. In there, he was giving out his personal information, his address, where he lives.
According to the probable cause affidavit, Barnett told the supposed hitman, I don't care if you have to burn his house to the ground with him in it. Make it look like an accident. From there, the target called JPD, but since he lives in Greene County, they were called in to assist. When they arrived at the intended target's home, the call had been going on for an hour and a half.
So the actual call was about 45 minutes where he was talking about it, but the line was still connected.
Still going.
The guy didn't hang up.
Good Lord, he's bad at this.
Right?
The conversation on the phone had already ended, but the phone call was still active. To Mr. Barnett's cell phone.
And it seems it didn't take long for the hitman to act. The target went to the police department to fill out a report. When he returned home, police say that it had been burglarized and his gas stove had been tampered with.
That dude moves quickly.
Yeah, he does.
That's a hitman that means business.
Yeah.
The guy just goes to the police and he comes home and he finds problems.
Wow.
During the phone call, the target overheard that Barnett had attempted to have him killed once prior.
No.
But, quote, they couldn't get the job done.
He's really upset.
His hitmen
just aren't doing the job.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating.
So he would pay this man $5,000 up front and the remainder when the job was done. His reasoning behind the murder-for-hire plot? The target says he overheard Barnett say, "I owe the little son of a blank a bunch of money, and if he's gone, I don't have to pay it."
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Guys, he owes him money, so he's just going to kill him instead.
Just going to kill him, sure. Look, I'm not killing anybody, but I think $5,000 is not enough.
No, that was up front. And then I think it turned out to be about $60,000 or $70,000.
Okay, all right. Yeah. But now I'm considering it.
Okay, good.
I've been here now for 25 years. I never recall a time to when a subject has accidentally butt-dialed someone. You know, they're either trying to commit a crime against or the possible victim of the crime, and then they accidentally called them. No, I've never seen that happen
before.
Yeah,
I would say that's probably.
My initial reaction would be like, very funny, Steve. All right. Yes, it's very funny. And then as I get shot in the head.
Right.
Yeah. Not quite as funny. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
If you missed it, Jensen has agreed that we can pick his next tattoo.
Isn't that great?
Awesome,
next hour.
Jensen.
Definitely not what I said.
We're going to decide on something. By the way, I'd just like to throw it out there. This is just one of the options. Now that we found out that there's a dancer on Dancing with the Stars named Gleb, I suggest you get his face tattoo.
That's pretty strong.
As your next tattoo.
Gleb.
I guarantee you everyone would go, "Who's that?" And then I'd say Gleb, and they'd go, "That's not a real thing," and walk away.
You know what, though? You're spreading the gospel of Gleb,
right? That's right.
It's an important part.
Needs to be done.
Yes.
Someone's got to do it.
I mean, I want you to think about that, but again, we'll accept some other options within the next hour here on Carrick. First, Allie's got what's happening on a Tuesday.
Wow. Any of you read this Alex Trebek interview?
No, unfortunately.
Yeah, very sad.
So he did an interview with CTV on Friday, and then other different sources picked it up. But he's opening up further about his fight with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He is back doing chemo, and he was asked in the interview if he would have to stop hosting Jeopardy at some point soon. And he responded, "I will keep doing it as long as my skills don't diminish, and they have started to diminish." He said he's beginning to get sores in his mouth that are affecting his ability to enunciate certain words. And then he said, "The thought of the pancreatic cancer does not frighten me. I'm 79 years old, so hey, I've lived a good, full life, and I'm nearing the end of that life. I know that. I'm hanging in. So we're back on the chemo, and we'll see if the numbers go down. And if they do, they can't keep doing it forever, of course."
That's sad.
It's very sad. And 79 is too young, you guys.
Absolutely. You guys, 35 years he's been hosting.
That's insane.
That's sad.
It is. It is a bummer, you guys. Rihanna has announced a new visual autobiography simply called Rihanna.
Now, that's also known as a book?
It's a book, but it's got a lot of pictures, so it's more like a visual book.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm listening.
Okay, there you go. It's going to follow the singer and entrepreneur's life in photos from her childhood in Barbados to the present. Right now, it's about 500 pages with more than 1,000 photos, many that have never been published before, along with a poster, other inserts, and it's going to be presented in a black carrying case. This sounds classy.
So you can just take it everywhere with you.
You can take it everywhere.
Like you do.
Working on the book took over 5 years, she said. It will be released October 24th for $150.
Wow.
Wow.
Did you say
$150?
Yes. The large format version of the book will be bigger than 12 by 16 inches and weigh 15 pounds.
I'm not taking it anywhere. That's too heavy.
I think that's a bigger format.
Not going with
that
it.
Has wheels.
No. What about this, guys?
Like a stewardess luggage?
It has an assistant.
What about an ultra luxury Supreme Stoner edition with a marble pedestal to display it on? Only 10 will be produced. What's happening?
I don't know.
How much is that going to cost me?
It doesn't say in this article, but I can't imagine a marble pedestal is cheap.
No.
Come on.
I read this morning a stat I've seen before that was something like 35% of Americans did not read a single book within the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
This Rihanna book sounds like the one for them, though, because it sounds like it's mostly photos.
Yeah, and it comes with a marble stand.
Yeah.
Well, that's
everybody
extra.
Wants a marble stand.
Yeah, only 10
for the Rihanna
book.
How
are they going to put every bookstore in America is going to have these marble stands to take home with
10,
the book?
Yeah, only 10 of those.
Doesn't
being
sound
produced.
Practical.
Only
sure
10.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
So. I would be interested in a Rihanna autobiography. I don't think I need all that, but she's had an interesting life.
You're turning down Rihanna pictures.
Right?
What is wrong with you?
I mean, I guess I'm saying there's room for both.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's why it's a visual autobiography.
All right.
Yeah.
I read best that way.
Yeah, this is definitely for Kevin, for sure.
What's going on?
Okay.
I mean, I may be part of that statistic of not reading a book in the last year.
Did you ever read one book in the last year? No?
I've read parts of many.
Mm-hmm.
Not a finisher.
Kevin starts books.
Oh. I'm not a finisher.
I wouldn't be so proud saying that, Kevin.
We've all heard that.
So this is pretty interesting. Edward Norton claims that he lobbied real hard for a set of Hulk films done kind of in the same vein as The Dark Knight. He wanted them to be really, really dark.
Interesting.
And he outlined his whole rationale and the claims that Marvel was initially into it, but then something happened. He kind of maps this out in this new interview that he just did. But he said if he had his way, he would have starred in at least two more Hulk movies, but they decided to go in a different direction.
That movie wasn't good. That's probably the reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Ed Norton Hulk one was bad.
Was there ever a super dark Hulk?
No, but I mean the one they made with Ang Lee or whatever with Ed Norton is not good.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a bad movie.
And do you want Hulk to be dark or do you want him more like Thor Ragnarok? Hulk, like more.
There is a comic like room for both. I was
There is a comic called Hulk Gray that I think is more along those lines. But I kind of like the Hulk we went
with. I do
with.
Too.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. That movie's pretty bad. No, I mean, is everyone?
I mean,
with
it has to have been because to say no to Ed Norton.
Yeah, it's the worst movie in MCU, right? We all agree
on
that.
I think that's the general consensus. Yeah.
Yeah.
You choked up. You real bummed about it.
It's kind of hard to hear you guys making fun of the Hulk.
He had high hopes.
You don't want to see him when he gets sad.
No, you sure don't.
All right, guys. Some birthdays for you. Chevy Chase, Matt Damon, Paul Hogan, Nick Cannon, Bella Thorne, Bruno Mars, Travis Pastrana, and we're doing it because we want to hear this soundbite. But it is the bassist of Kool & the Gang, Robert Kool Bell.
All right. Here at the Grammy Roundtable with Ronnie and Kool of none other than Kool and the Gang. How are you gentlemen doing?
Well, wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but
you're wrong.
One of your biggest hits goes a little something like this.
Well,
do a little dance.
Nope.
Make a little love. Get down tonight?
No.
Long question, short answer.
Also, did you call Robert Ronnie?
No, Ronnie is another member. Kool is Robert.
Okay.
Yeah, Robert Kool Bell.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
That's not their song, Muggs. That's that's Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yeah, I know that now.
Do you know Kool and the Gang song now?
Jungle Boogie, boodaloo, boodaloo. No,
there you go.
Is that it? That is.
Yeah, that's cool. That's Kool and the Gang. I mean, most people would say Celebration, but yeah, that's a good choice.
Go ahead
and
do Celebration.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Yeah.
It's a celebration.
Join the Butthole Revolution.
That's somebody's presidential campaign motto for 2020. That's a guaranteed winner, I'll tell you that. Actually, that's our friend, actress Andrea Savage. She's going to be joining us 1 hour from right now, talking about all things Andrea, including her brand new podcast, which involves buttholes, you guys.
A lot. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell her this when she gets in here. I didn't think the world needed another celebrity podcast with interviews, and I was wrong because she's a goddamn delight.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
A goddamn delight.
That's huge from being.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I was. I was wrong.
That's high praise.
That's how great Andrea Savage is. All right, you guys, we found this on Reddit recently, and I think this is a fascinating topic, and I don't think we have ever discussed it on the Kevin and Bean Show before, and that is things that are completely unnecessary, but you do them because they are the social norms.
And this is right up my alley. Hot Take Jones is here.
Yeah.
I know this well because, as you know, I brought up once that I think that it's ridiculous that all of us feel forced to say God bless you when someone sneezes.
And I thought about that over the weekend, and then I realized, no, that's just a kindness.
No, no. Didn't say,
I'm good with it.
I don't agree with you. I think that it is forced upon us and weirdly religious. Those are the things
That's why you just say bless you instead of God bless you.
The intention is there. Everyone knows it's God that's doing it.
When When you brought that up, Jensen, it was very controversial in the room.
Yes.
What was the response from the listeners on your hot take?
I would say about 70-30 not agreeing with me, but still a strong, loud 30.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Obnoxious 30,
a loud
I would say.
30.
They drowned out the 70, if you know what I mean.
There are so many things that you do just because you've been taught to do them, and sometimes they don't seem to make sense. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll just throw one out, and this just occurred to me, and maybe it's dumb, but why do we shake hands with people when we meet them?
Why do we shake hands?
It's a weird thing to do. Like, why do we need to touch a stranger just because we've been introduced?
I'm with you on that because a lot of people hug and stuff every time they see someone, and I think it's the same thing. Why are we touching all the time, you weirdos?
Yes.
Would you rather bow?
I wave from afar. Hey, what's up, man? Good to see you.
Okay.
Like, I mean, why does there need to be... look, you're already introducing yourselves or reintroducing yourselves, saying hello to one another. Why is saying hello not enough? Why does there have to be some sort of physical interaction? That's just if we're talking about social norms that you do that are unnecessary, why is that necessary? Why do
it's
we shake
necessary.
Hands?
It's not.
I think it's
just
a means of connection.
We just do it because it's a thing.
I think it's a means of connection.
I don't like it.
I don't dislike it.
I don't need it.
All right.
I don't need it either.
I will tell you, as someone who has a new baby... I have a couple that kill me. One, every time I show the baby or see another baby, why do we all have to go like, he's so cute or he's so beautiful?
Because it's not always true.
It's not true. We know that not every baby is adorable.
Well,
mine
is
a gosh darn porcelain doll. But I'm saying like other people's babies, I always, everyone, even me, mm-hmm. when they show me, oh, he's so cute. And I'm like, he looks like,
wow.
you know, he looks like Donald Rumsfeld. You
you're,
know what I mean?
You're like, a phony. You should do what I do. Hmm. If I see a baby and that baby is not cute, I go, well, look at him.
Really? That's your code?
Absolutely. That's my code for you, birthed a heinous baby.
Also, people say, who does he look like between the two of us?
Right.
Yeah, that's a little annoying.
And I want to be like, oh, he's neither of ours. We adopt. You know what I mean? Like, I want to like,
right.
which isn't true.
It's
but
my
I,
neighbors.
Yeah, I want to make him feel real uncomfortable.
That's nice.
Yeah, we adopted him from Afghanistan, you know, or something. But it doesn't look like, who cares?
We want to take your calls on this, by the way. If there's something that you only do because society tells you you have to, but you think it's dumb, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. I'll throw out another one. And I mentioned this off the air the other day when we were discussing this topic.
Is this your tirade?
Yes.
Literally.
What he hopes for every day when he wakes up.
No, but it's so dumb. Think about it. Somebody somewhere a long time ago decided, you know what we're going to do for men? Is we're going to have them take a piece of cloth and tie it around their neck. It doesn't do anything. It has no function at all. It literally is just going to hang around their neck all day while they're at work. That's called wearing a tie. What is the actual GD point of wearing a tie? Why do we bother?
It just, it looks good. It
does it though?
Dare
it?
I say it ties the whole look together. Yeah, if you're just wearing a suit jacket with like a white shirt underneath, without a tie, it just doesn't look complete.
But that's because society has told you that.
Society is right.
It only looks good because you've been grown up being told that that is the male standard. If ties didn't exist and somebody came along today and said, guys, I've got a great idea. Let's start taking a piece of cloth mm-hmm. and tying it around your neck for 8 hours a day. We would all look at him like he was ridiculous. Like, that would be such a stupid idea.
I mean, that's tough to argue.
If
somebody came along today and we hadn't been doing it the whole time.
Remember when Kanye came out and he had those, like, sunglasses that were, like, blinds?
With the shades, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Like, that's ties to me.
Yes.
Like, one day someone just showed up and said, these now, and everyone was like, all right, I guess. But, like, no one did that with stunner shades or whatever they called them.
Huh. All right, let me do one more, and then we'll take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. I believe that we have this going on here in our building. One of the answers on the Reddit post, what you do just because society says, saying good morning to coworkers. I am not a morning person, this person writes, so it really bugs me that I have to fake that sort of cheerfulness in the mornings. Kevin, have you expressed this sentiment to anyone in our staff?
I mean, Christine is the happiest person alive. And there was a time when she would come in at 5:30 and she would be so overwhelmingly nice and kind. I actually had a conversation with her. I was like, look, just give us a minute?
Be less nice
honestly, and kind.
Like, just if you could just postpone that for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. That way we could sort of wake up a little bit.
Wow.
It was too nice. I didn't know what to do with it.
Beat the joy out of her.
I mean, yeah.
Why don't you just let the job do that?
Right? Like the rest of us. Kevin, look. I'm trying to have your back here.
I wasn't just speaking for me, by the way.
Were there others who suggested?
I mean,
it was a little bit too much.
Somebody that's too overwhelmingly happy first thing is sometimes difficult.
Well, why don't you put out a memo about how much happiness we're allowed to have?
Because not everybody's in the same mood.
Like, where should we be at? Like a six?
What time should I start smiling?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you get up early, that's a tough time.
As soon as I wake up, should I kick my dog? Or, like, how does it work?
Should we wait till 9, 10 a.m.?
Yeah, we'll give it a couple hours.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's grab a call at 1-800-520-1067. Again, the topic is things that are dumb, but you have to do them because society tells you that's the norm. And we'll start with Miguel. He's in Stanton. He's on line one. He's got one that's going to be very controversial.
Hey, Miguel.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You tell us.
You know what? Everybody wants to get tipped now. You know, I tip my bartender, my pizza man, and the person serving me at a table. You go, you serve yourself yogurt, and they want a tip. You go to a dispensary, they want a tip. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants a freaking tip now. Uber Dash or whatever. Everybody wants a tip.
Well, Bean, you should probably talk to this because I know you hate tipping Uber drivers.
Well, I changed my mind when I got that 4.77 rating. Believe me, I'm tipping like a fool now. I'm giving them $1,000 every time one drives by me.
It's a hot take. But Miguel has a slight point in here.
He does.
In a sense that, like, every job has become tip ready. And
where it didn't used to be for a long time.
It didn't used to be that at all.
But servers at a restaurant and stuff like that, 100% fine with it.
Yeah. But at a yogurt shop where you literally are walking up doing all the work, then you bring it up to them, they're like, where's my tip? Oh, suck.
No, the place we go to, it does have that.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, we do
it's
all the
insane.
Work. But I guess they do clean all the stations.
Well, cool. You get a paycheck for that. I mean, you're not doing this for free.
Miguel, does all tipping bug you, or is it just the level of how it's sort of breaking down into smaller parts where they don't necessarily deserve a tip?
Like, there's the tip jar at the cashier. Like, why is there? What did you do? What, you're taking my money, now you want more?
Yeah, and that's their job. That's their job is to ring you up.
I tip my bartenders. I tip my servers. And
you're fine with
the pizza guy.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I think the ruling on this is tipping should be allowed, but not in every job.
But don't push us, people. Right?
Right. Don't push us. And we'll expect
a tip for
taking your call today, Miguel. I hope you understand us. Thank you for the call.
You'll get our Venmo.
1-800-520-1067. What do you do because the man says you have to? Your call's next on K-Rock.
Just out of the song, let's take one phone call. We're talking about social norms. You only do it because it's normal in society. And you shouldn't have to. Let's go to Bob in Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles, darn it.
What?
Hey, I was hoping he was from Chattanooga.
I noticed that girls have to wear a lot of makeup. And the question is, if it's a man making them do it, right?
No.
Oh, just anything that we're supposed to do that we just do it because, yeah, I think, like, for example, my sister, she went to the doctor the other day, but she put on a bunch of makeup. And I asked her, I was like, why are you putting on makeup? You're going to a doctor's appointment. Mm-hmm. And she said, because I feel like I have to, and I used to understand that.
Why is that a no? I think I agree with Bob that women wear makeup and they shouldn't have to.
Yeah, but
if women don't want to wear makeup, they don't wear makeup.
But most women still do it, whether they like it or want to or not, don't they? Because isn't what Bob's saying is true, that society expects him to? Like Alicia Keys comes out with no makeup and people talk about how terrible she looks, even though it's completely her choice to do it.
I think the angle of saying women for a long time have been set to want to wear makeup when in real life they shouldn't, and a lot of women have taken that standard as what they have to do, seems weird.
I also think a lot of you guys think that we wear makeup for you.
I don't. I think it's
that was his question.
Yeah,
that's
no,
what he's asking.
It's not for dudes.
I don't think it's for dudes.
No.
I think it's because they've been pushed to that state. They think they should almost like. I feel like it's for other women almost more than men.
Why I said it's not for you.
Yeah, the standard is that.
But Allie, would you wake up in the morning and go, I'm going into K-Rock today to do the show, and I'm not going to wear any makeup? Would you do that?
I wouldn't, because I look like a fetus without makeup. I have blonde eyelashes, blonde eyebrows, and it's just not a good look, and I don't feel like you guys should be subjected to a fetus. Because you'd be
that.
Like, how is that big baby talking?
Honestly,
it's true.
It might help ratings. We had a big baby talking on our show.
Bob, great call, sir. Awesome. Thank you for listening. We'll take some more right after this on K-Rock.
Baby is huge.
Sounded good to hear again.
Yeah.
I like that band.
World famous K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show, 7:25.
We had a Twitter poll up at Kevin and Bean on Twitter asking which Halloween song you'd prefer to hear this morning, Warren Zevon's classic Werewolves of London or the Cranberries' Zombie. By the way, both of them are dead. It just occurred to me. Singers for both of those songs are dead.
You got to bring us down. We're all having a good time.
Yeah, it's nice.
You can still vote in the last couple of minutes. We'll play your choice coming up next. Right now, we want to get back to your topic of things society says you have to know, even though they're dumb. Allie, you had a couple of texts coming in?
Yeah, a couple that I really agree with. Corey in the 818 from North Hills said, I hate that people think that when you sit down at the dinner table, you absolutely have to take your hat off.
It is interesting that you say that, because to me it looks rude if somebody doesn't take their hat off, but again, that's
why?
Because that's what society has taught us.
Absolutely.
There's no reason for that.
And then from the 714, I feel like we all agree with this. Something I do because it's normal is ask people how they're doing. In all actuality, I could not care less how they're doing.
You want them to respond with fine.
You just want fine, right. And then you can just walk away.
Yeah.
You know what? You're just going through the motions.
Yes.
That's all you're doing.
Yes. Yep.
That is excellent. All right, let's see. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Courtney, Long Beach, Line 8. She's super, super wrong, but let's give her a chance to explain herself.
Hey, Courtney.
Hi, how are you?
We are good, thank you.
Good morning. What's your societal norm that you'd like to do away with?
Sure. So I hate that I feel the need to hold the door for somebody when they're like 10 feet behind me. And I have to sit there and wait for them to like...
Are you in a huge hurry, are you? Mm-hmm.
You know what?
There is a distance factor. I agree with that.
Right.
But what's the distance? That's the problem.
Yeah.
The key is to not make eye contact so they know that you didn't see them.
Oh, yes. Always look at your watch or cell phone.
Yes.
Everyone knows that. Yeah.
Yes.
Especially in an elevator.
Because if you see them and they're 25 feet away, you make eye contact, you're stuck on that door.
Here's my feeling. If you have to break out into a sprint, I'm not holding the door for you.
Yeah.
Courtney, I was prepared to yell at you for not wanting to hold the door for people, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
There is a distance. I think it's around 6 feet, I want to say.
Oh, that's,
wow. Oh, that's
way
short.
Too close.
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Take it easy.
What do you guys think?
I think like maybe 20, 25.
I could say,
and usually if that happens, if I'm the person walking to the door, I'll say, oh, I'm good.
Yes.
And then they can go
in. I feel like a lot of us do that stuff, though. It's a nicety that we don't want to lose in this society, no?
But then the person who's 20 foot behind then has to sprint to get to the door. What if he has a heart attack?
Just do what Allie said, which is, I'm good.
It happens here a lot when I'm coming in the morning, because like everyone comes, you know, everyone who does morning does the same time, basically. And I'm trying to get in the studio as quick as I can. Mm-hmm. And then I'll see someone getting out of their car at the same time as me, and I'm like, up, and I just get a little,
start timing.
I get a little bit of a sprint going, and then when the person's behind me, I don't look back.
That's the key. You can't make eye contact.
I gotta get to work. You know what I mean?
Jensen's a dick.
Courtney, great to call. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. All right, let's try Henry Orange Line 1 up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, Henry.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Hey, so I just think that the social norm of basically, I just recently got married, of having to take off a garter belt or throw a bouquet after the whole like ceremony and all that doesn't really make any sense.
There are a lot of traditions at weddings, that's for sure.
I'm with him, man. We didn't even do any of those at ours. We didn't even do speeches.
I have to say, though, Henry.
I remember thinking Jensen's an animal.
It's pretty funny, though, to see at a wedding all the women lined up that will go ham trying to get at that bouquet. You're like, oh, dude, just have sex. Everything's going to be fine.
I've literally been at weddings, though, where I've seen the bouquet hit the floor, and it's so sad because nobody wanted to get married.
I was at a wedding where the person that was the trajectory was coming right at her. She got run over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Run over.
Yeah.
She was literally out on the floor.
And let's go back to the garter thing for a minute, Jensen. That is an extremely intimate and uncomfortable thing creepy. To do in front of your parents,
it's
right?
It's so bad. There's not a world where I would have felt comfortable doing that. No. And then not only that, then you throw it out into your dudes.
Yeah, your dude friends are like, where has this been? I know.
Check it out. This was near my wife's cooch.
Yeah. Put up a poll last night at Kevin and Bean and asked you what... song you wanted to hear for Halloween, and that's the one that won.
Zombie. All right.
Cranberries.
That'll be fun. We'll do that every day up until Halloween. By the way, thank you to the listener who pointed out that it is Halloween, not Halloween.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we all agree?
It is
Halloween?
It's Halloween, yeah.
I mean, honestly, don't care.
I mean, but that guy has, or female has too much time on their hands. Letting
you know. Jensen.
Yes.
I want to tell you how impressed I am with you as an entertainer. Mm-hmm. And as a human and as a friend, and the fact that you've been on this show for a little over a year now, and you are turning over us being able to pick your next tattoo. I mean, that really shows a special level of commitment and friendship to the program. Right. That makes me feel like you are committed to us in this job and as friends.
Right. Well, before you get into it, I need to address that.
I was surprised by the offer.
It's not it's not what I said.
I mean, Jensen came to us and he said, guys, I'm going to get a tattoo. I've already got it booked on Wednesday, and I want you to pick my tattoo. Whatever you guys say. Yali, you remember the same way?
Well, he prefaced it with, you're going to think I'm nuts, but I really want to do this for you guys and for the listeners. Mm. And I was like, wow, Jensen is cool.
Really cool, right?
It's not what I
said. It's such a bonding experience,
it really
too.
It really is.
Because I feel like there's going to be something on your skin permanently that we had a direct part in playing, you know, in making happen. And I want to thank you in advance for that.
Yeah, I do remember the meeting. I don't remember anything as to what you're saying. I think what I said is I have an appointment for a tattoo, and I think it's strange that I haven't picked what it is yet. And then you guys all said, oh, cool, we'll do a segment tomorrow. And then now we're here.
See, I don't remember it that way.
I don't either. No. I do remember I specifically said to you, so which Owl City logo are you getting? And you're like, it's up to you.
Right, well, no, I definitely did not want it.
Really?
No,
thought it was going to be Owl City for sure.
Nah, I think... No, I won't do that.
Okay, so you are getting a tattoo tomorrow.
Yes, I have an appointment with Dr. Wu, who
is the legend.
Greatest. He's done a bunch of my tattoos, and he's very, even as a pal, he's hard to get in and get an appointment with. And so he was able to fit me in, and I'm so excited about it. And it's weird. I want to get something to commemorate the birth of my son, Adler, and I really don't have ideas about it. I'm going to go in for the first time in my entire tattoo life. I have over, I think, 25 or something. The first time I go in and I go, you know, Ann, let's talk about it. Let's see what do you
just
what do
a ball do? Of hair is my suggestion.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, it's a little too realistic, a little too on the nose.
Would Marv Albert be a problem?
Probably for anyone who Googles.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone who Googles that might be a problem.
But then with some teeth marks right next to the tattoo.
Yeah.
You didn't even put the restriction on us yesterday of Adler.
No.
I mean, I was thinking all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I like when my tattoos commemorate something that went on in my life.
It's like just, Ice Cube.
That was definitely a rare occasion where I may have made a slight decision outside of
Vanilla
my
ice
marriage.
Maybe you go with now.
No.
Wait. Who's the Simpsons tattoo? What's the Simpsons tattoo you have?
I have Milhouse. And Crossbones.
Okay. But how does Milhouse commemorate something in your life?
Have you met Jensen?
No, yeah.
He's Milhouse.
He is the walking, talking Milhouse.
It is sort of just respecting my entire existence being more than anything else.
He's your spirit animal.
Yeah, he is.
I got it. Okay. Yeah. So what are the options? If you're saying it's baby, I mean, what are the options?
Now that you're putting restrictions on it.
Some things that I've toyed with, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Much of Adler's entire room and everything that Danielle and I had sort of bought him till his birth involved a fox. We have a whole fox theme for him. I'm slightly nervous that he, this is his first word. Because I don't.
What would his first word say?
Fox.
See.
File!
See, because.
Trying to get it.
I mean, I got to be honest. I liked it. This is what we want. We want the lyrics.
This is what I want. All across your back. Ding, 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 ding,
all around his whole body.
And then,
why?
And it's only broken up by my butt crack.
Why a fox, by the way?
You know, I think it was just it's a den animal. Like, they depend on their parents. I mean, there was a lot of cute little things about it, but also it's just like a cute-ass animal, man.
Okay.
But
it's a wild animal.
It is. It is. But it's very much dedicated to its pack. very much dedicated to his family.
Okay.
All right,
okay,
we're gonna reject that.
Okay, reject it. Woo, okay, one of Woo's big things, if you look at his incredible Instagram, is he does a lot of these like solar system-y kind of like orbit-looking tattoos in his style. And I was trying, and I don't have anything, but I was trying to figure out what in that style would represent my family and my child and my wife and all of those things in an orbit.
What about orbits like with months, like the months that people were born? Mm-hmm. So you've got Danielle's month, Adler's month, your month.
Right.
And then you do that with an orbit.
And it says the name, like November?
No, it would be like maybe even your sign. So that would represent that in the universe.
Oh, like that's what's in the orbit.
Yeah.
Mm. I feel like there's a lot of explaining that would have to go on for that one.
Yes, I think so
well,
too.
Where, do you know where it's going to be?
Do you know where it's going to be? Great question.
Oh, well, I know in my arms.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly. I want, you know, it depends on what the design is as to what room I have.
Because if it's something super private, it doesn't have to be. It could be, you know, somewhere covered.
Wherever.
So you don't have to explain it a lot.
True.
I think you, look.
That's where my ice cube is.
Yeah. I know you're talking about your arm here, but there is nothing more hilarious than making your butthole the mouth of a tattoo. Nothing.
He said it for you.
I agree with that guy.
Yeah, he said it for you.
Recently, that guy went viral with using his belly button as the mouth of the Philly Fanatic. Did you
yes, I did see that.
So what
yes.
you're saying is that, but for the butthole.
I just...
Butthole tattoos!
Oh, my. Hey, we weren't planning on it, but Michelle is checking in from Canoga Park. She's online, too. She has a suggestion. Now that we've narrowed it down to it has to be a baby tattoo.
Yeah.
What do you think there, Michelle?
So an Adler is a type of eagle.
It is.
You could always get an Adler eagle.
Oh, interesting.
That's true.
Oh, wow.
That's
interesting.
True.
Interesting.
And he does very well with animals.
But what about...
Butthole tattoo?
Oh, no. I think that Michelle's idea is that it's an eagle and its mouth is my butthole.
Yeah. For sure.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
In the 8 o'clock hour, coming up in just minutes, the amazing actress Andrea Savage.
Join the butthole revolution.
Not only that, your tickets to Queen Mary's Dark Harbor with freakish fun, 6 terrifying mazes, hundreds of monsters, nightly live entertainment, exciting rides, and so much more. We got tickets you can win in the 8 and 9 o'clock hour this morning on K-Rock. Allie.
Bean.
What's happening?
Did I ever tell you about my cousin Tim?
He had an unfortunate medical condition,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah. He doesn't have a butthole and he can't
have
fiber.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
That is
clearly
awful.
Poor Tim.
Poor Tim.
Hit it, Steve. No, just
this is some off air conversation sometimes. Just it's a different show.
I'd like to bring it on there. Yeah.
I would too.
It's still around, but you can just press the button.
You just
man.
Play it.
I mean, what if we just hit play?
Jet.
You could just hit it.
Yeah.
All right, hang on. Now I got to find it again.
Come on. How is that not a hotkey?
It's not. Believe it or not, it's not something I use
I haven't
often.
Heard this in 15 years.
All right. I can't find it yet.
Oh, boom! Somebody just trashed it.
Bean.
Hold on.
Sabotage.
Let me search butthole. Hang on.
Not the
you're
going to
miss
today.
This gig, Bean. You're not going to find another job where you could say, let me search butthole. Hold on.
All right, here All we right. go.
Okay.
My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber.
I mean,
my cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat
sing
fiber.
Sing it if you know it.
My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber.
That's what we have going on. Here.
It's the off-the-air show.
That's such a hot beat.
Is it? It's not butthole week yet, is it? I didn't think we were at butthole week.
I don't remember
I feel like
when that
every
is.
Every week is butthole week.
Correct.
When it's,
especially when Andrea's coming.
When Andrea
in.
Savage is coming, and she'll have all the lowdown on buttholes.
Okay,
and maybe our cousin Tim.
Yeah, if she can help me out with my cousin Tim.
Butthole tattoos.
Join the butthole revolution.
I mean, can Tim? Like, that's the first question. Because,
no,
I said, he doesn't
can't.
Have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber.
That's right.
That's such a bop.
All right. Guys, I am bringing you this story just so I could read the first sentence from TMZ.
Okay.
And kudos to whoever wrote this.
Okay.
Joaquin Phoenix is getting huge Oscar buzz for Joker. But the movie's big opening weekend has some folks thinking about polishing a different kind of hardware.
Yeah!
Wait, what? I'm sorry, what?
Well, let me
being
finish.
Way too quick on the applause. Yeah.
And kids shouldn't really be cheering for this, but it's...
Are people getting turned on by Joker?
Massive spike on Pornhub searches over the weekend for...
Really? For Joker or for Joaquin Phoenix?
Or for clowns?
Or for clowns. Clown porn.
Involving the word Joker.
Really?
Yeah. 741,000 searches involving the word Joker in the first 4 days following the film's release. The biggest surge came Sunday when Pornhub saw 291,000 searches for a clown getting down. I like it.
I'd like to get an update from them every day.
Yeah.
On what's
a Pornhub, yeah, absolutely. But see... polishing a different kind of hardware. See, because it's Oscar buzz. I just thought, kudos.
I'm laughing. I'm having a good time.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Guys, this is pretty interesting to me. So Netflix's plan to appease traditional Hollywood with the upcoming Martin Scorsese film, The Irishman, is not quite going according to plan. The company intends to screen the film ahead of its debut on the stream platform on November 27th at a Broadway theater. Because major movie theater chains have said, no, you can't screen it here for just 3 weeks. They're balking at it. They're like, no, you can't do it here. So they're having to go to smaller places, including this Broadway theater. So, according to Variety, Netflix says they are also working with smaller indie-friendly chains like Alamo Drafthouse to provide The Irishman with slightly more nationwide reach during its limited one-month run. The short window will allow The Irishman to qualify for the Academy Awards, but they're like, wait, you're only going to put it out for like 3 weeks? No, we want to make some money off of this, so you should have released it earlier for a longer period of time so we could make some money off of it ourselves, is what the chains are saying.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare seeing that movie in a theater. It's 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Ooh, is it really?
Yes. Yeah. That's why Netflix is perfect, because I can watch it in segments or, you know.
Yeah, over three nights. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, I can't imagine being in a theater for that. I can't even imagine being in a theater right now, let alone for 3 hours and 30 minutes. Wow. If your movie's an hour 28, I'm there, man. Make that movie.
Well,
hour 29, no way.
No.
Okay.
It's Detective Pikachu or nothing.
All right.
It's interesting now, though, you know, because you want to be able to put it up for an Academy Award, so you have to put it in a theater. What's going to happen if all theaters are like, nope, can't do it?
That is interesting.
So, there you go.
I mean, it only has to be in a theater in New York and in L.A. Mm-hmm. At some point, maybe Netflix will just have to build one.
Oh, yeah.
Don't put it past them.
Yeah, I mean, they would definitely do that.
They got the money, and it literally only has to be two theaters you know, that they have to build. So,
yeah. My friend, my cousin Tim, would love to see it.
Well, I don't think he should be in a theater for 3 hours and 30 minutes either.
He probably shouldn't. And he, you know what he loves to eat at theaters?
Well, I can tell you
like
something.
A nice salad. Yeah. You can't eat fiber.
Yeah, too much fiber.
Yeah, it's too much.
You give it a lot of thought to poor Timmy today.
Well... he doesn't have a butthole.
Right.
He can't eat fiber.
And I just...
this is going to be a very confusing podcast for people.
Do we need this? Oftentimes we talk about movies that are coming out and we're like, ugh, not interested. Then you hear who's starring in it, you're like, okay, that might change my mind. So if you hear that Jeff Daniels is going to be James Comey, maybe you're interested. Mm-hmm. So this is a movie. CBS Studios has now found it's Donald Trump for its upcoming miniseries based on James Comey's memoir, A Higher Loyalty. Brendan Gleeson will be playing Trump. So are you interested in Jeff Daniels as James Comey and Brendan Gleeson playing Trump?
I am only mildly interested in this book as a movie, but I think both of those are good casting.
See? That's the thing.
Brendan Gleeson can also be Bannon. He's got like a Bannon look to
totally.
Him, too.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. It might be good.
I feel like I'm assaulted every day by politics, and I don't want to see a movie.
Yeah, I have zero interest about in that. This. But filming for the four-part series begins in November. It could air on either CBS All Access or Showtime.
This is a scam, and the people are wise to it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Some birthdays for you. We've got Chevy Chase, Matt Damon, Paul Hogan, Nick Cannon, Bella Thorne, Bruno Mars, Travis Pastrana, and from Cool and the Gang, Robert Cool Bell.
All right. Here at the Grammy Roundtable with Ronnie and Cool of none other than Cool and the Gang. How are you gentlemen doing?
Well, wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your biggest hits goes a little something like this. Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight?
No.
I like that they waited him out, too.
I also like the lack of absolute confidence when he says it. Yeah. In one of your songs, get down tonight?
I should have started saying, my cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole.
Yeah, that's one of our biggest.
And he can't eat fiber.
By the way, great guest coming up this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow, Kevin, your favorite, David Boreanaz from SEAL Team, is going to be on a show that I still don't believe exists. I still don't think that's a real show, but you claim it does, and David Boreanaz claims it does, too.
Third season, my friend.
Also, no. Alfonso Ribeiro is going to be here tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
Alfonso, you guys.
Quite a team of David Boreanaz and Alfonso. That's my new Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Ray Romano later in the week.
Punch for
Ray Romano and live music from Jimmy Eat World. That's all coming up. But first, while we're talking about guests we adore.
My name is John Hamm.
My name is Joey King.
My name is Mike Shinoda.
My name is June Squibb.
My name is Mila, and here's how I say buttholes?
Buttholes.
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 That is the intro of a new podcast that is a much listen, you guys, from our friend Andrea Savage, the delightful actress who joins us back in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Andrea!
Oh my goodness, applause!
How's your butthole?
My butthole is doing great. Have I told you about my cousin Tim?
Yes, we've heard.
We've heard. I've heard about Tim.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like he had an issue.
Yes. Yeah. He doesn't have a butthole.
But he eats.
He can eat.
Oh.
Fiber.
He can't eat fiber. That's what it is.
That's the irony.
That's
very sad. I hope people just woke up and heard that was the first thing they heard for the day.
We were
discussing earlier that your podcast is actually called A Grown-Up Woman, but it has a hashtag butthole, and we're trying to figure out if there's any other podcast that's ever had its own hashtag in the title.
I mean, I'm not aware if there is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and say nope.
Yeah, and you should sue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I will aggressively be serving anyone who hashtags in their title. Yeah.
Why was it important for you for buttholes to be in the title of your podcast as a grown-ass woman?
As a grown-up woman. How dare you?
Sorry.
I don't work blue. Thank you.
Yes, that's what we know about you.
Very rude. Honestly, and it's going to sound crazy. I wanted the joke of the juxtaposition of grown-up and then buttholes. I'm going to go out on a limb. I think the word buttholes is a little magical.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
Mm-hmm. I think there are very few words that you cannot take yourself too seriously and say buttholes.
Yeah.
You're not going to say it in anger. You're not going to look at Allie and be like, you know what? You've been a real butthole. Everyone's going to laugh. It just sort of breaks the tension. And my point of the podcast is just because you're a grown-up doesn't mean you have to be super lame.
Sure.
I think there's a magic in the word, and it's just fun to say. And I make all my guests have to say it, which is delightful.
It is delightful. Who talked you into this? Where did the idea come from?
I'm going to have to blame Chris Hardwick for most of it. I've done a lot of podcasts, and people were like, do you want to do a podcast? I was like, God, no. Mm-hmm. No. Why would I ever do that? And then I a couple people were like, you should try it. It's super easy. You just sit down and record stuff. And then I started doing it, and then I was like, well, you all lied to me. This is so much work.
Way more work than that, yeah.
So much work. It also was a reason to, be able to see friends of mine that I don't get to see. Mm-hmm. And also have a little bit of stuff in between seasons of my show. I'm sorry, because it takes a long time for me to do a season, and a little something for me to still connect with people and still be out there.
Did you record the bulk of the interviews during your break between sorries?
I did. I've recorded most of them. There's still a handful left to record, but yeah.
Good, because I don't want it to hold up the next season of I'm Sorry.
Seriously.
No, it is not going to hold anything up.
All right.
So most, yes, almost
being,
all
I don't want the butthole
important.
To get in the way is what I'm
well,
saying.
Well, no one yes. does. Bean earlier gave you the best praise a podcast can get, which is said, he goes, I didn't think we needed another podcast in this world, but we've been proven wrong by Andrea Savage.
Well, especially another podcast of celebrity interviews, because it seems like that's the most common format for podcasts. Yet you have an obvious connection with everybody on your podcast.
I do have a connection.
It's friends just hanging out chatting.
Yeah, and I wanted it to just be something that was pure fun. Mm-hmm. Because I'm personally longing for just like pure laughs and not like dark, sad stuff right now. And I was like, I want to make it pure fun.
Yeah, same with my cousin Tim.
Yeah.
he doesn't have it easy.
He doesn't have fun.
No, he doesn't. He just wants fun. I heard you on Dax Shepard's podcast and I was like, Andrea Savage is totally going to do a podcast. it just flows. Like, you and him have such a great rapport and you have such history with
him. We do, yeah.
And I thought to myself, you know what? She's steering a lot of this. She's doing the
she's
heavy
ready.
Lifting.
You
she's
think ready.
It's like when Robin Williams showed up on Happy Days is Mork, and you're like, that's going to be its own show.
I said that as a 3-year-old. well, yes, it's been super exciting and it's fun. But I will say there's a little bit of shame I feel when I say I am doing a podcast that is celebrity chat based because it is so crowded. And I was like, well, what am I doing? I better have like a reason to be doing this. I'm not going to do it just for this, you know, F of it. Mm-hmm. I need to have a reason. And mine was like, pure fun. I want to laugh. I want to make my friends laugh. I want them to make me laugh.
And none of these people are cold calls. These are all people that you have relationships with and are friends with.
Exactly.
Which is different.
Which is different and limited. Like, basically, this is all I can do because that's all my friends.
Okay, you got to go make friends purely for the podcast.
One season.
Oh, that seems like a lot of work.
It is. That's worse than doing the podcast.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not speaking out of school because you've said the same thing on the podcast, but you picked a real loser as a sidekick. What's that about?
Listen, I didn't know if he was going to be a loser or not. His name is Tony Thaxton.
Uh-huh.
He's in a band called Motion City Soundtrack.
Yes.
He's the drummer. And basically, everyone says to start a podcast with someone you have history with, where you have a rapport, a banter. I went a different direction.
Yeah, you had never met.
Nope, we had never met.
What's wrong with you?
I had no one to do it with. No one I know knows how to edit and record podcasts.
And he does work with Allison Rosen and a few other people,
right? Yes, Jimmy Pardo recommended him to me, Chris Hardwick. So I was like, well, these guys know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And completely steered me wrong.
I will tell you, Andrea, that I have listened
to... Tony is delightful. But we're getting to know each other. It's a blossoming friendship over the season.
He's very quiet at the beginning. It's going to take him a while.
I don't think he talked at all on the first episode.
Barely on the second. I will say that I have listened to dozens of episodes of Tony Thaxton on his Feliz Navipod podcast.
Yes.
Because I'm a big Christmas music enthusiast.
I make fun of Tony, but he's actually very lovely and very successful.
Feliz Navipod.
Yeah, Feliz Navipod.
It's a great name, isn't it?
So much.
It's delightful.
Andrea Savage is here, the podcast, by the way, and we will talk some more about I'm Sorry and other stuff. The podcast is available now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get yours. It's called A Grown-Up Woman, #Buttholes. Would you guys mind before the break if I played a clip from the episode with Chris Hardwick?
Sure.
Please.
Because I think y'all will enjoy this and it'll give you a sense of the fun. This has been, as the New York Times likes to say, lightly edited for time and clarity.
Chris, I can honestly say you are the first person to be in my home other than my husband whom I've had sex with.
Yeah, oh, great.
I had to give it to make sure that wasn't a true statement this morning. I was like, has anyone else?
But the period of time, it was so, you know.
It was a very long time ago.
Incredibly long time ago. We're very old.
Yes, we're older than
Right.
We honestly, looking at you, I feel sad.
I mean, that's an idea. How the conversation goes.
Womp, womp.
By the way, Jensen doesn't believe you should ever even be on social media with exes.
No.
And here you are, actual friends with an ex.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean,
ago.
How long? It's...
15 years ago? What's your cutoff?
Oh, I think it's period. I don't think you should at all.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm friends ever with friends almost with every one of my exes.
Hmm.
Well, I guess
Andrea's
that just
doing
shows,
the right thing.
Yeah, shows that I'm doing the right thing and that I'm right and you're wrong.
Wait, a question though. If any involvement in those people, do you ever like check them like in a sort of like a petty way? Like, do you think you ever check up on them because you're like, are they having the best time of their lives? Are they? I don't think you're hung up on them,
like
by the way.
They miss me?
No. No. I honestly, I feel like I've been married, I feel like, for so long now that none of those people, I've forgotten that part of my life. Yeah.
Sounds like someone, you know, is in denial.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Or just extremely well-adjusted.
I'm Team Andrea on this one, by the way. Andrea Savage is our guest. Quick break. More with her right after this on K-Rock. Writer, director, producer, actress, and now podcaster, our friend Andrea Savage in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, we hit the podcast a bunch, and we cannot urge people enough to go check it out.
Yeah, if you like our sense of humor, you will love it.
You will love Andrea's podcast. It's delightful.
You'll like it.
No, wait, let's not get crazy. Back?
I don't know. I just don't want to, you know, I've only heard
one. You
don't
want to oversell.
I've only heard one.
Yeah. Okay, I don't feel...
You'll love it.
You'll love it. It's on reviewing it. Just give it 5 stars. Don't be weird about it.
Yeah.
Nobody's no one's impressed if you're 4 1/4. Just give it 5.
Yeah, calm down, Leonard Maltin.
Yeah. It's like, I'm fine if you leave the pointed comments, but still, throw the extra stars.
Sure, that's all
you're going to hurt you.
Don't be a stinge.
Sure.
Andrea, you may have mentioned it, but where are we now? You're in the writing process for season 3 of I'm Sorry. Is that what's happening?
Currently writing season 3. Right after I leave here, I will be heading to the writer's room.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love it if you guys did anything interesting that I could throw
into...
that's
not gonna happen. Yeah. Okay.
Actually, when we went out for breakfast, something happened and you wrote it down and I was like, oh no. Do you remember what it was?
It was bacon.
Was it the bacon situation?
It was the
You had a bacon situation?
There was a man at the restaurant. You had been at this restaurant before, but you hadn't been there in a long time.
Yeah.
Who remembered you as the woman who eats and orders a lot of bacon.
I will say this about the bacon.
That's a super weird thing to be remembered for.
They have a great bacon because they flash fry it right before it's done. So it has this crispiness to it that I love.
But how much did you order?
An order of bacon, 3 pieces.
The man acted as if the woman had eaten them out of house and home with bacon.
It was weird.
We don't have any more bacon.
Yes, yes. But it was clear that you hadn't been there in a long time and you and I didn't know each other well.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this guy doing? Like,
how much bacon do you eat?
He had to be hitting on you.
No.
I think he was hitting on you.
Had to be.
I think she's lying. I think you've ordered more than one order in one sitting before.
Oh, no, I've ordered bacon with my meal than some to take home for later.
Okay, well,
this is new information. Something a bacon lady would do.
I'm sure. Ooh, do you have a dessert menu of just bacon treats?
And then you got forced. We were having lunch, and you were forced into ordering an order of bacon that you didn't want.
I didn't want it.
What? Yeah, because the bacon lady's there.
Yeah, it was like we couldn't let him down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be like going to see Michael Jordan play, and he just layups all night. Like, I came for a slam dunk, bacon lady.
I would love to see your notebook.
My notebook is insanity because I will write every sort of strange thing or thought down. And then I pitch them all and then we try to jam them into episodes. So bacon might come in.
How many episodes does season 3 have?
10.
10.
10. Yeah.
It's not enough. I'd like more.
Andrea, speaking of...
It's killing her,
I would like more.
Okay. You wouldn't, though, because they'd be terrible.
Okay. Well, okay.
Speaking of pitching ideas...
Yes.
Here we go.
No, I'm not pitching you.
Oh, please,
You said something on the podcast that was so shocking to me that before I'm sorry...
No.
Before I'm sorry, you had sold... was it? 8 shows?
Shocking to me, too.
8 shows you had sold and none of them made it to air?
I think it was 7. Selling shows. And
they would buy them.
They would buy them. So I paid for them. And a lot of them turned out well. And they were like, we love these. We're not going to make them because of blah, blah, blah. And which was a weird. I was like, you're not saying anything.
Why are you saying blah, blah, blah?
You're just saying blah, blah, blah.
That's not a reason.
Which was, and so many of them said
but
it like
I don't understand. I don't understand show business then because I would not go to the store today and buy a lawnmower and then just take it home and put it in my basement and never use it. Well, the whole point of buying it is because I want it and I will use it.
Great example.
File the example.
If you need me to explain how ridiculous show business is and how it doesn't make any sense, you need to move to Los Angeles
again. It's never made sense to us.
It doesn't make any sense, and I can't make it have sense.
Friend of the show, Rob Riggle, has some story where he had like 15 pilots not go in a row.
Yeah, Riggle.
And now he's living the life of holy moly. He's living like a king.
So
He got the last laugh.
Yeah. But Andrea, when that happens, though, here's an idea that I presume you thought a lot of, poured your heart and soul into to make the thing happen, and now it's dead. And now you can't do anything with it.
What do you? It was
harassing
over and over. Yeah, it
Tell
almost
us about
killed
the pain.
me.
Tell us
Bean,
about the pain.
Is this what you want? Bean would make the best reporter in front of a fire. Your whole house just burned. What are you feeling? You had seven houses burned. How could this feel?
How could you still be going, though? What's the incentive to get up and try again after seven in a row?
Something broken in me? I don't know.
Have you not offed yourself?
I guess I'm just super impressed. That's
well, thank
that's
well,
a you. That's a strange way of saying
it. Good way to tie that up in a nice little bow.
Thank you.
By the way, I'm sorry. The first two seasons are now on Netflix. You have no excuse not to watch this. I told these buttholes about
it. You did.
And I'm telling you, within one episode, they're like, how did you not talk about this earlier? I'm like, oh, you a-holes.
Kevin has a theory. He was like, how is this not the most popular show on television? That was literally what I feel that way.
Yeah.
Guys,
it's that good.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm very proud of it.
It's very funny.
Is it still on True TV?
It is also still on True TV. Mm-hmm. Although I don't think you can find it there right now when it's on Netflix. It's like a trick, like a weird.
Oh, I see. Okay, so they give it up afterwards, whatever.
And then it goes back. I don't know. It's complicated.
But it's on Netflix right now.
It is all of them.
Season one and two.
Season one and two. Yeah.
For people curious, you said you're in the writer's room. You're dealing with all that. When could we expect a season three?
2020.
Okay. And narrow it down.
I don't know what just happened.
I don't know.
I think there was a conversation.
I think they spoke for real.
I do not speak Hollywood.
Right. Yeah,
all right. The podcast is Andrea Savage, a grown-up woman, hashtag buttholes. Episodes 1 and 2 are up with Mila Kunis and Chris Hardwick. And what are you going to be releasing them weekly from now on?
Yeah, John Hamm is coming next week.
Ooh.
Speaking of John Hamm. Bean, do you remember what happened
when we were discussing
John Hamm?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You got John Hamm back as your narrator again this year. He's pretty dreamy, right?
Oh, you're the worst.
I mean, let's be honest, Keith. Let's just be men here. I mean, he is effing amazing, right?
Did you just cuss, Bean?
I did. I've never done that before.
John Hamm just made you cuss?
That was a moment
first
with Bean.
Time in 30
years. First time accidentally.
Yeah. Yeah. It was only just like hormones. Yes. It was just like came rushing through it.
Yes.
I will tell you, John Hamm showed up at my house 3 hours early in the middle of Chris Hardwick's podcast. So if you listen to Chris Hardwick's, John Hamm is at the end with my mother.
What? Are you doing Mad Libs right now?
Yes. jumping on a bouncy nose. He showed up. He put it in his calendar when he was in Atlanta. So he showed up
Atlanta
3 hours early. Oh. My mother was there, who is also on my podcast at the end of the Chris Hardwick one and a couple other episodes. She had no idea who he was.
Right.
And asked him because he was like, oh, maybe we've met or something. And she was like, oh, does your kids go to my granddaughter's school? And he was like, I don't have kids. So I have my mom talking about how she doesn't know who John Hamm is. He showed up 3 hours early. It was madness.
I love it.
And then he does something that's very hard to embarrass me on his podcast. There is something that happens that is the most embarrassing. I climb under a table.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So get ready for that.
I'm in.
Cringe. I love it.
Can't wait. Andrea, you know how much. Just a reminder, the second episode of the AEW Wrestling is going to be tomorrow night on TNT starting at 8 o'clock. We had Chris Jericho in here yesterday, who is the current world champion. What an impressive dude he is. He's a lead singer in a band. He's written a whole bunch of best-selling books. He's one of the great wrestlers out there. Fun interview with Chris Jericho. If you missed it, please go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com and check out the video. It's all up there for it. It's something I think you'll enjoy.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Now Andrea Savage got me all sad, you guys.
Why?
Because she walked out and she said, is this the last time I'm ever going to talk to you?
And you said, I hope not.
But probably.
But likely.
But I mean, look, I have about a month left doing the Kevin and Bean Show?
I mean, you're leaving that kind of vague, sir. I think everyone who's listening is like,
I have about a month.
A month.
How about you narrow it down and then we discuss tomorrow?
A month from yesterday. Okay, so I have a month left, but here's my point.
That's November 7th.
Here's my point, though. My point is.
Right, but our point. Okay.
How do I get, like how do I talk to Andrea Savage next year
you
when
don't.
I'm living
you
in
don't.
England and I don't
you
have
give
a
up.
Radio show?
No, you give up.
Yeah, you cease to exist here in America because you're a goddamn communist.
Correct. Yeah. I'm not sure being in Britain makes me a communist.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah.
By the way, when you give up the show, you give up all your celebrity friends, too.
Yeah.
Weird Al's going to be like, Al? Who's Bean?
Right? Weird Al and Jimmy Pardo were both like, F that guy mid-November.
Yeah. That hurts me, by the way.
Should.
Deeply.
Should.
I'm just saying I need to start getting some phone numbers so I can just call people up and like interview them for 30 minutes once every 2 months.
Good luck.
And then how are you going to use that?
I haven't thought it fully
okay.
through. I don't have all the
Sounds
answers
like
yet.
A great system.
What if at the end, as we're like saying goodbye to people as they're walking out, Bean's like, can I grab your number? Like to every person.
And they just keep walking out.
And they just keep walking.
Not one so person sad. Would give them their number.
I think you're true. That's true, by the way. I think you're absolutely right about that. All right, 8:55. Allie is here. Time for What's Happening, and you come bearing gifts.
I sure do. Zombieland Double Tap in theaters October 18th. But guess what? You, listening right now, if you're the correct caller, you're going to get access for two into the K-Rock Advanced screening of Zombieland Double Tap at the Arclight in Hollywood on October 15th.
That's a scam.
It's
and
not,
the people are wise to.
No,
I
it's
don't
not.
Think it's a scam at all.
It's literally an advanced screening.
Giving
so
it away.
You get to see it 3 days before the rest of the plebs see it on October 18th. What a deal. Let's take callers 10 through 14 right now. 1-800-520-1067. You're getting access for two into the K-Rock advanced screening of Zombieland Double Tap.
The zombies.
And I believe we're going to have Paul Wernick and Rhett Reeson next week to
the
talk
writers.
All
Correct.
About Zombieland Double Tap. They also wrote a little movie called Deadpool.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing.
They're pretty talented guys, if you will.
Please
How about
call
that,
now.
My zombies?
Okay. Kevin, we've talked about how you like things from Costco. So if you get like Lucky Charms and then they just sell the bags of the marshmallow charms, you're all over it.
I mean, I may have a couple of those bags. Yeah.
We found out. He sent a picture to all of us yesterday. He wasn't lying about the dots.
No, he has boxes upon boxes of dots.
Why would I
dots.
Lie about Who would make up a lie like that?
I
have a bunch of boxes of
honestly,
dots.
Honestly, someone who's smart. Because when you sent a picture of those dots, I honestly started to be like, would he kill us?
Yeah,
just
you seem
for
serial
fun.
Oh, so you thought I was crazier when that it actually existed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought the joke was cool. I didn't know the real life thing is terrifying.
I mean, it's one thing for a guy to claim he's going to carve a swastika into his forehead, but to actually see him do it, that's terrifying.
I don't
that's
feel like that's a good example.
That is a leap.
You know what?
Just a candy.
I think it's a great example because dots aren't even enjoyable. They just get stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, they rip out your fillings.
They're not even, they're not good. They're torture. It's a torture method. You have eight torture method.
Love them.
They're also not a candy as much as they are a piece of plastic.
Exactly.
Oh, don't you talk to me about plastic.
Says the guy that likes candy corn, you're eating a candle.
Candy corn is sugar,
I will accept
sugar,
that
though.
From anybody but you.
I have a question. Why do you stop at dots? Why not just eat marbles?
They don't taste good.
Took a real turn, Kevin.
Neither
I'm
do.
Sorry.
That's Jensen's point, Kevin.
Yeah, neither
I
do.
I like me some dots. Mm. That's all.
I'd rather eat the dots on paper.
I wasn't asking you.
Pieces of the paper
you
come
get
off.
Mostly paper.
You eat a lot of paper.
Oh,
it's like,
the worst.
Do I want candy or do I want to eat a Kinko's?
Well, the reason I bring this up, Kevin, sorry.
Yes.
In case you wanted to eat a huge amount of cookie dough, Costco is now selling 76-ounce tubs of Pillsbury chocolate chip cookie
Everything
dough.
Everything should come in a tub.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Have you guys had, like, the edible cookie dough that's now hot and cool?
Like it's like candy, but it's cookie dough.
Yeah.
And it's supposedly safer because it's not
going to
be salmonella.
Because it's egg or whatever. Yeah.
Whatever.
Hell yeah, man.
I'll chance it, right? Let's be honest.
Either way's good.
Yeah. Well, they have that now at Costco, so go get you a tub.
All right.
Kevin is what I'm saying.
All right.
Okay?
I will do it.
All right. I've got so much, so many good stories. I'll just save them for the next hour.
Because we spent a lot of time talking about my candy?
We did.
Okay.
We did. But for those of you that wanted to go to Chernobyl, but you were like, oh, but I can't get into the area where
the meltdown?
The meltdown took place. Now you can. Officials in the Ukraine are now letting tourists make 5-minute visits to the room where the infamous Chernobyl nuclear meltdown took place in 1986.
If you're limiting it to 5 minutes, I don't want to go there.
Those who choose to indulge must wear a full hazmat suit, industrial boots, and receive 2 radiation tests afterwards. While much of the surrounding area of the plant has been deemed safe,
The control room itself is still thought to have radiation levels nearly 40,000 times above normal.
Maybe skip it. Maybe don't go.
People.
Look, you know what? No, go.
Thin the herd.
I want you to go.
It's Darwinism.
The people who want to go should go.
Exactly. If you want to make content in the nuclear room, please go.
You're right.
They should let you in there, and then you stand there while they play the song Radioactive by Imagine Dragons. That's how long you get to spend in the room, and then you turn around and leave. They bring in the next group. They soundtrack your visit.
Okay.
The song is called Radioactive.
Yeah, no, you made that clear and we know it.
Tomorrow's my last day. Just the kind of response I'm getting.
Well, don't be mad. You're not allowed to be bad and then get your feelings hurt.
Be bad.
Okay. Some birthdays for you. Bella Thorne, Bruno Mars, Travis Pastrana, Nick Cannon, Paul Hogan, Matt Damon, and Chevy Chase.
6.7 K-Rock. This is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41.
Kevin Bean, how lazy is Omar? We haven't gotten a theme for what's happening with Allie.
Oh, that's right.
What's happening with Allie? See, I did it. I did your job, Omar.
And you did it well.
Yeah.
That's a keeper right there.
Wow.
All right, what's happening with Allie?
Well, I want to hear what you guys think about this.
Okay.
Chief Michael Moore, LAPD. Chief Moore on Twitter.
Guy the from, Bowling for Columbine guy.
Yeah, Bowling Columbine guy. Yeah, exactly.
No, this is actual LAPD.
Roger and me. I like that
chief.
One.
No, that this is one. Not the movie guy.
Okay.
This
you
is,
seem too fat to be a cop.
Literally,
really, I'm kind of surprised
the
he would make the
chief
physical.
Of the LAPD, police chief, Michael Moore.
Michigan
not
guy.
The
called,
same guy.
Called the Trump win, right?
Again, no.
Boxer, Michael Moore? No?
No.
All right. Too I'm far. Out of Michael Moore's.
Too far.
Thanks.
He tweeted... Nobody said it would be easy. The Dodgers aren't out of it yet. I've authorized all employees to wear Dodger caps on duty in support of our blue crew. Let's all pull for one more day of summer. So, police officers gonna be wearing Dodger hats, you guys.
Okay, I don't understand his one more day of summer. Because if they win, then they just go on to the next series. It's not like
I don't
that's
think
the
he just
end.
Won one more day.
Yeah, I think we need like three more weeks.
I think he's a day by day kind of guy. Okay, right. Just leave him alone.
Okay. I thought you wanted to know what we thought.
Oh, you're right. What are your thoughts without judgment?
I think I love it.
Yeah,
I think I love it.
I love the comments.
Oh, I'm sure.
Summer real good. Can you arrest AJ Pollock for impersonating a MLB player?
Yes, thank you. Take back that $55 million.
Very good stuff. Other people saying, what if I'm wearing a San Francisco hat? Will that be profiling when you pull me over? Okay, calm your teeth, but pretty funny as well. But I think it's nice.
I agree.
I think it's really nice.
Yeah, it's just a little city spirit. Yeah, why not?
The boys in blue thinking about the other boys in blue, right?
I will allow it.
Okay.
Dodgers!
Thank you, sir. Bean, you love The Crown.
The movie?
Yes.
The TV show?
The TV show,
yes, of course, very much so.
It's returning for season 3 on November 17th, and you will be happy to know that Helena Bonham Carter, who will be playing Princess Margaret in season 3, has her blessing.
She has
Princess Margaret's blessing. Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought Princess Margaret was dead.
Oh, just she's been dead 17 years.
Yeah.
But she contacted her from the other side to let her know she approves
Did
of
she?
Helena Bonham Carter
no.
playing her in The Crown.
Says who? Helena Bonham Carter?
Helena Bonham Carter. Wow. She says that she sought Margaret's approval through a psychic medium. Carter describes the process. So I asked her, are you okay with me playing you? And she said, you're better than the other actress that they were thinking of. They will not admit to who it was. It was me and somebody else. That made me think maybe she is here, because that is a classic Margaret thing to say. She was really good at complimenting you and putting you down at the same time.
50 Shades of Crazy.
Helena Bonham Carter
has lost it.
Is my favorite.
You think she just lost it now? The woman looks like she's made of spiders.
That's a good point.
Is she going to be all goth and stuff as the queen?
Funny, Margaret mentioned that to her.
Of course she did. Yeah. That's her sense of humor.
Margaret said, "But you're going to have to brush up and be more groomed and neater."
Yeah.
Then she said, "And get the smoking right. I smoked in a very particular way. Remember that. This is a big note. The cigarette holder was as much a weapon for expression as it was for smoking." They had quite the
chat. What's
chance.
Happening?
A lot of detail there. May I just say that none of this happened?
None.
Really? Helena Bonham Carter said she sought her approval through a psychic medium, and then she detailed it, you guys.
That bitch is crazy.
Maybe she was on, like, mushrooms or something and imagined it all happened. That's the only thing I can give her credit
for. So you can just go into a medium and put down 20 pounds or whatever it costs and just dial up on the whoever you want on the hotline to heaven and have a lengthy conversation about current events.
Yeah.
I know
that's
that,
real.
I know that I give away free TV show ideas on the show too much, and I should probably be using them in my other life. But celebrity psychic medium is a great idea.
Well, that's what they had with that that guy.
That kid that Dr. Drew did, right?
Henry or Henry.
Does that mean that he'll sit with, like, Biggie's mom and bring back Biggie? Or, like...
He would talk to celebrities about people that have passed.
Oh, no, I want him to bring back a celebrity.
Oh,
I want to be in a room with him and be like, Selena's here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Selena's here. Aaliyah's here.
Wow.
Like, I want to be in a room, and then I talk to Aaliyah.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
I don't think that's a thing, but okay.
I mean, if we could bring anyone back,
sure.
I'm down.
Okay. No, I think that's a great idea. I think that's a show you should make.
Yeah, you know, just throw these ideas for free.
Find this medium who so easily channeled Princess Margaret.
Yeah.
She sounds like the one to do it.
That's true.
Bean, I feel like you're not a believer.
Not even a little bit. It didn't happen. I'm saying it's not so much that I'm not a believer. It's just that none of this is true.
Okay. All right. You're not clear, so I'm putting you down as a maybe.
I'm not a maybe. Am I alone on this? Is the girl in the majority here?
Oh no! This is bonkers.
This is bonkers.
I think it is not believe that's true.
But I do think that there's some weird way that people can speak. I think there is something in psychics and mediums. Yes,
you do.
Yes. Thank you.
I do.
I'm not buying it.
I don't think it's obviously they don't like it, like in a room alone with a dead person,
right.
But I think that they get some sort of feeling and that they're able to convey that feeling.
We have recently had two people that a lot of people think are trustworthy, truthful people talk about their relationship with ghosts. We had CM Punk that talked about it on the set of his last movie, and a little guy that was in a movie called Ghostbusters that talked all about his family and ghosts. Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, but Dan Aykroyd seemed insane when he was in here. Like, I loved him. But
how
he seemed...
dare
no,
you?
No, but I mean, like, in
I
a good way.
I loved him, too, but there was a little nuttiness
in
there.
A good way. In a good way.
There was some.
Wow. What? Okay, then CM Punk.
But I loved him.
CM Punk did not seem as crazy, no.
Okay,
and so he was filming in a house where there was, like, murders and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, do you believe...
You're right.
I don't need to be aggressive towards you.
Yep. I didn't need Dan Aykroyd.
There's room in my life for I don't think that they're talking to somebody on the other side, but I also can't explain it.
Okay.
I can take that position without saying absolutely not.
And now let's go to Negative Nelly. Bean?
None of it is real. And people, look. People cannot accept that death happens and that you lose touch with people that you love because it's very painful. So what you do is instead you put up this imaginary scenario where you're still in contact with them even though they're gone.
I hope you move into a house in London where there's just 50 people have died in it in a fire and you have to deal with all of their spirits.
That would be great.
By the way, also a good TV show.
Yeah.
Bean moves.
I'd watch that.
Bean moves into a house that was burned down, killed 50 orphans, and now he has to deal with the 50 orphans.
Now they're orphans.
Oh, you made it real sad.
And all of them died?
If you have to
deal with 50 orphans ghosts, would you please call us at least once?
Yes, I will. Okay.
He'll be back on this show in a week.
How'd you all die? Do you guys want to listen to some radio?
Oh, that's good. All right, some birthdays for you. Paul Hogan, Matt Damon, Chevy Chase, Nick Cannon, Bella Thorne, Bruno Mars, Travis Pastrana, and he's the bassist of Cool in the Gang. And who's a bigger fan of Cool in the Gang and Robert Coolbell than our very own beer mug?
All right, here at the Grammy Roundtable with Ronnie and Cool of none other than Cool and the Gang. How are you gentlemen doing?
Well, wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your biggest hits goes a little something like this. Do a little dance,
Make a little love? Get down tonight?
No. Wrong.
Get down tonight?
I wish there was more of that tape. It's funnier just to hear the guy go no, but Monks was so excited when they sat down, like really genuinely happy that they were there.
I just want to hear
Monks' inner dialogue of nonsense, which is just like, oh man.
And I love the starting off with, correct me if I'm wrong.
Will do.
Sure will. That's what's happening.
Thanks, LA. 5 p.m. commercial-free hours. Tomorrow morning, Alfonso Ribeiro joins us.
Yeah.
How about that?
David Boreanaz is back. B makes us guests. And more tickets to Queen Mary's Dark Heart.